Hello, listeners, and welcome to Northland Views. Ya'ate, this is your Sun Sounds reader, Mary McGrory, welcoming you to Northland Views, a program brought to you by Sun Sounds of Northern Arizona. Today we'll be reading from the Navajo Hopi Observer and the Navajo Times. Let's begin with some election-related stories from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, November 13th, from page one. Headline, Navajo voting sites get 2 extra hours of voting time after long lines and print errors. This is by Shandine Silversmith, first appearing in the Arizona Mirror. Dateline, Chinle, Arizona. With temperatures dropping in the final hour that polls were open, voters at some Apache County polling locations faced long wait times to cast their ballots, and Navajo Nation leaders convinced a judge to keep the polls open until 9 p.m. The voting site in Chinle on the Navajo Nation had a long line throughout the day as issues with ballot machines, printing ballots, and confusion among voters. One voter waited for 2 hours to cast their vote and said it was a mess inside. Another voter was stuck in line holding a misprinted ballot that she said needed to be voided so she could vote in person. A few more voters bundled in sweaters said they had already been in line for about an hour, but they were going to stick it out and make sure they cast their ballot. As the sun went down, the line in front of the Chinle polling site was still leading into the gravel parking lot, with voters waiting for their turn to vote as temperatures sank into the 40s. Arizona Native Vote Protection Project volunteers Sadie Red Eagle and Shandine Herrera arrived at the Chinle polling locations at 6 a.m., and it didn't open on time. Red Eagle said there were voters already on site waiting in the pitch black for the polling location to open, which it did about 6:15 a.m. But the issues did not stop there. Red Eagle said the Chinle location was one of several Apache County polling sites that did not have enough ballots printed, and a lot of their machines had not been able to provide enough ballots as voters came in to vote in person. Locations reported that some of their machines were broken, she said, adding that 2 machines were broken at the Chinle location. The other sites included many farms, wheat fields, cottonwood, and Round Rock. Red Eagle said this has resulted in many of the surrounding locations sending their voters to Chinle, where they have encountered issues out-of-precinct voters are still trying to cast ballots. Poll workers are incorrectly telling them that they can't vote here, although they are required by law to provide accessible voter devices, she said. Issues with on-demand ballot printing, which plagued multiple Apache County voting sites on Navajo land, prompted Navajo Nation President Boo Nigrin to file an emergency lawsuit seeking to extend voting in the county for 2 additional hours. Navajo people represent a powerful voting base, and we've demonstrated in the past that we can change the outcome of a state and federal election, Nigrin said in a press release. Today's issues in Apache County are troubling, but our Navajo voters should not be discouraged. Leaders of Apache County have reached out to me, and we're working to ensure that our Navajo voters are being accommodated due to the technical failures. Nigrin said the technology errors have disproportionately affected Navajo voters, and a failure to extend voting times risks disenfranchising them. If Navajo Nation members are unable to vote, the collective power and voice of the Navajo Nation is reduced, he said. If some of its members are unable to vote, the Navajo Nation's overall ability to advocate effectively for critical resources for the Navajo Nation and the Navajo people is jeopardized. Nigrin's office said affected voters should call the Native Vote Hotline if they were experiencing problems. It isn't immediately clear how many voters were affected. The county has 44 precincts and around 54,000 registered voters. Shortly before the scheduled 7 p.m. closing time, Apache County Superior Court Judge Michael Latham issued an order allowing 9 polling sites on the Navajo Nation to remain open until 9 p.m. the affected locations were Chinle, Cottonwood, Dennohotso, Fort Defiance, Lukachukai, Lupton, Rock Point, St. Michael's, and Wheatfields. A related story from the Navajo Times of Wednesday, November 20th. Dateline, Window Rock. The Navajo Nation Department of Justice on November 12th filed a second lawsuit against Apache County because of delays in processing early ballots for the 2024 general election. This lawsuit follows an earlier one filed on Election Day to provide Navajo voters in Apache County with an additional 2 hours to vote after ballot printers at most polling places failed. The new lawsuit seeks to give Navajo voters more time to fix problems with signatures on their early ballots. This year, voters had until 5 p.m. on Sunday, November 10th, to correct any signature issues. However, late on Saturday, November 9th, the Navajo Nation Department of Justice learned that Apache County had paused processing of early ballots from November 6th through 8th. They also discovered that at least 143 Navajo voters had had signature issues that needed to be addressed. At that time, Apache County still had 900 early ballots left to process. With only 48 hours remaining before the deadline, Apache County had very little time to notify these voters and allow them to correct their signatures. The short time frame was especially challenging because of poor cell phone reception and internet service in the Navajo Nation, the use of post office boxes, and the long drive to the Apache County Recorder's Office in St. John's, Arizona, among other reasons. In addition to these delays, it was difficult to reach the Apache County Recorder's Office during election week. Navajo Nation Attorney General Ethel Branch, who was a voter in Apache County, experienced this firsthand when she tried to confirm that her early ballot had been received. The Arizona Secretary of State's website showed that her ballot still hadn't been processed by mid-afternoon on November 9th, and she had to call the Apache County Recorder's Office multiple times to get confirmation. Thanks to the efforts of volunteers on November 10th, around 21 voters were able to fix their early ballots, but about 40 of those voters reported that they had never been notified about their signature issues by Apache County. To ensure Navajo voters had enough time to address signature issues, the Navajo Nation filed an amicus brief, a document supporting a court case, on November 10th, asking the Arizona Supreme Court to extend the state's ballot-curing period. This was in response to the more than 250,000 early ballots that had not been processed as of November 8th. However, the Arizona Supreme Court refused to extend the deadline. Because the state court didn't extend the deadline, the Navajo Nation decided to file a lawsuit against Apache County on November 12th. It is asking the court to prevent Apache County from certifying the election results until Navajo voters are given enough time to fix any signature problems on their early ballots. Apache County's delay in processing early ballots disenfranchised Navajo voters, and that is unacceptable, said Speaker Crystalline Curley. I am hopeful for a positive outcome in the nation's suit against Apache County. Branch added, we will continue to hold Apache County accountable for any disenfranchisement of Navajo voters. The Navajo voice and vote matter and should be counted. Now, back to a story from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday the 13th about results of the recent election. Headline, Jonathan Nez loses bid as first Native American to represent Arizona in Congress. This story is by Jacques Bilot for the Associated Press. Dateline, Phoenix. Representative Eli Crane has won re-election in a Republican-leaning congressional district covering vast swaths of rural Arizona. Crane faced a spirited challenge from Democrat Jonathan Nez, the former Navajo Nation president, in the 2nd district race. Nez was vying to become the first Native American to represent Arizona in Congress. The second district covers much of northeastern Arizona and dips south to the northern Tucson suburbs. It includes 14 of the 22 federally recognized tribes within the state. Crane, a former Navy SEAL who served in the military for 13 years, is a member of the far-right House Freedom Caucus and a staunch ally of Donald Trump. He was among 8 U.S. House Republicans nationally who voted to oust Representative Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker in 2023. Crane focused on securing the U.S.-Mexico border and supporting military veterans. Nez campaigned largely on securing water rights and fulfilling the needs of rural residents. In 2022, Crane unseated three-term Democratic Representative Tom O'Halloran after the rural district was redrawn to become significantly more conservative. Nez was the Navajo Nation's president from 2019 until 2023, after serving for 4 years as the tribe's vice president. Nez lost his presidential bid in 2022. He previously served as a Navajo County supervisor and Navajo Nation delegate. The Associated Press called the race on November 9th, when the race reached 90% of the vote counts. At that time, Crane was at 54% of the votes, and Nez was at 46%. Crane had 202,474 votes, while Nez had 171,110 votes. Not long after the official result was called, Nez wrote a heartfelt speech congratulating Crane on his Facebook and thanking everyone who helped him with his campaign. "The voters have spoken, and I respect the choice of the voters," Nez said. "I just called to congratulate Eli Crane on a hard-fought victory, to serve a second term, and to offer my assistance to help move our district forward." Likewise, Crane issued a statement saying he was grateful for the victory and also gave a shout-out to Nez. "I also want to give a shout-out to Jonathan Nez for entering the race. It's never an easy decision, and I wish him and his family the best," Crane said. Of Arizona's 9 representatives in the U.S. Congress, 6 are Republicans and 3 are Democrats. Now, another story from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, November 13th, from page 1. Headline: Loop is First Purple Heart Community on the Navajo Nation. This is by Alexandra Wittenberg, special to the Navajo Hopi Observer. On November 7th, the Loop Veterans Organization installed signs recognizing the town as a Purple Heart community. A celebration followed in Navajo and English, with an invocation, presentation of the colors, moment of silence, and dedication messages from special guests. When coming into Loop from the east, south, and west, visitors and locals can now see a "Welcome to our Purple Heart community" sign with the Purple Heart symbol of George Washington's profile in his Continental uniform. The Purple Heart is a symbol of sacrifice which originated in the Revolutionary War. It is given to those hurt or killed during the war, any war, and was received by many Navajos during World War II alongside the Navajo Code Talkers. While Loop was recognized as a Purple Heart community in December 2022, the signs weren't installed until now. "Loop's always been the first of everything," Loop Veterans Organization Commander Gilbert Chee said. "It was the first chapter on the res, and today we're the first Purple Heart community on the res." To earn the designation of a Purple Heart community, a municipality must have one service member who received the Purple Heart. There are 5 Purple Heart recipients in the Loop and Bird Springs, Arizona area, according to Chi, and many more that never made it home or are no longer with us. Chi served 3 years in the Army and has been the commander of the Loop Veterans Organization for 16 years. He and the Loop Veterans Organization members worked with the Military Order of the Purple Heart, MOPH, Chapter 793, out of Flagstaff, to get Loop recognized. Military Order of the Purple Heart Representative John Davidson came out to help Chi and Coconino County District 4 Supervisor Judy Begay lead the ceremony. Other speakers and presenters included Loop Veterans Organization Vice Chair Mary Iron, who served in the Marine Corps, Loop Chapter Manager Vida Galloway and Vice President Angie Cody, Ryan Chi and Annabelle Small Canyon of Loop Elementary School, Western Navajo Agency Commander Gabby Maley, and Navajo Nation's Veterans Director Bobby Baldwin, former Coconino County District 4 Supervisor Jim Parks, and Board of Supervisors candidate B.J. Dempsey. We have over 30,000 Navajo warriors out there and those who are serving still today on active duty, Baldwin said. Our council delegates and our previous leaders had the foresight to say, we're going to create these trust funds. We're going to start this program for our veterans and traveling nationwide and meeting with other nations and seeing the way we can provide and help each other and make sure we have family members that are loved. That's what creates this high bar for other Indian nations to reach. We are very blessed, and I think it's due to all of your warrior spirits. Also in attendance was the widow and daughters of Nelson Thompson, one of the original 29 Navajo Code Talkers who received a Purple Heart and had lived in Loop. Lydia Thompson gave a heartfelt speech about how her granddad, who passed away in 1982, didn't get the same recognition as Purple Heart recipients are getting today. Locals Leroy Cody and Harry Key Yazzie were born in 1946 and started their military careers in 1967. Cody, from Loop, decided to join the Marine Corps like others in his family. There have been books and movies on the company he was with in Vietnam, Echo Recon. Cody traveled from San Diego, California, stopping in Anchorage, Alaska, Yokohama, Japan, and then Taiwan, where he's waited five hot days to catch a ride to the plane to Vietnam. When we got off the plane at Vietnam, there was a whole bunch of machine guns going off and bombs exploding, Cody said. He was injured on St. Patrick's Day after crossing from combat to the bases across the river. A fellow Marine in front of him got skimmed by a bullet and his face turned white. The next thing I knew, I saw blood, Cody recalled. I was gushing out blood like a water hose. Cody thinks he was shot by a Type 79 submachine gun from 15 feet across the river. He was transferred to a secure area and told his team that he was turning white and probably needed an IV or a blood transfusion. One of his comrades from Tucson pushed everyone out of the way and cut his shirt, putting it around his hand to stop the blood. I finally got a transfusion. That's how I survived, Cody said. A month later, Cody was honorably discharged and notified of his Purple Heart by his then commander, General Christensen. Cody received his Purple Heart at a ceremony at Loop Elementary School in December 2022. He has since turned his Purple Heart into an intricate cuffed silver bracelet with other stones. He wears that on one hand, along with a thinner bracelet featuring a prominent purple stone on the other hand. Yazzie did his Army training in Texas and flew out of Fort Benning Airport in Georgia to get to Vietnam. He was working recon on the field when he got hit. He was surprised with his Purple Heart while he was recovering in the hospital. He keeps his Purple Heart on a plaque in his Bird Springs home. Those men, along with Marine Corps veterans Raymond Thompson and George Key of Wide Ruins, Arizona, received a standing ovation from the audience at the ceremony. Now, some news related to financial life on the res from the Navajo Hopi Observer of Wednesday, November 13th. This is from page one of the Navajo Hopi Observer, headline, President Nygren's tax strategy brings $140 million to tax commission in last quarter, results in $29 million more than projections. Dateline, Window Rock, Arizona. The Navajo Nation has collected $140 million in taxes for fiscal year 2024, which is $29 million more than first projected. Since January 2023, the Navajo Nation Tax Commission has seen a significant shift in how contracts are awarded to Navajo Nation businesses and are taxed. "It's the highest we've brought in so far," said Effie Etzedi, Executive Director of the Office of the Navajo Tax Commission. "Our projection was actually $111 million. So we brought in an excess of $29 million, which is extra money for the general funds. This change ensures that Navajo dollars remain on tribal lands," she said, adding that her mission is clear: to keep track of the nation's 9 different taxes and retain financial resources on the reservation as much as possible. Navajo Nation President Nygren said Etzedi's work is keeping the Navajo Nation's operations funded. "We are thrilled to hear that our Office of Navajo Tax Commission, led by Effie Etzedi, is keeping our Navajo dollars in our tribal treasury," he said. "These taxes have many specific purposes that go to our general fund, but also particular efforts, like increasing access to healthy foods through the taxation of junk food." Etzedi's office recorded an impressive increase in tax revenue, she said. She attributed that largely to what she describes as sales tax, non-retail. "This category primarily includes construction contracts for roads, water lines, power, and professional services, such as legal and accounting assistance. The growth in tax revenue reflects a larger trend. The Office of Navajo Tax Commission now oversees 5,500 taxpayers, primarily registered businesses within the Navajo Nation. We register anywhere from 5 to 15 businesses a day, so it's growing," Ms. Etzedi said. "The growing is so steady it's created a demand for more tax collectors and accountants to manage the expanding tax base," she also said. Looking ahead, President Nygren's focus on the American Rescue Plan Act funding, particularly for water and electric infrastructure projects, is expected to further boost tax collections in fiscal year 2025 coming up. "Navajo taxes support the operational needs of the Navajo government, its enrolled tribal members, and its 4,000 employee workforce. The first taxes collected by the Navajo Nation were the possessory interest tax and business activity tax. Those began in 1978. In the same year, 2 coal companies sued the Navajo tribe, arguing that the tribe did not have the authority to impose taxes. The Navajo tribe litigated the lawsuits, Kerr McGee Corporation versus Navajo Tribe and Southland Royalty Company versus Navajo Tribe, from 1978 to 1985. On April 16, 1985, the U.S. Supreme Court affirmed the Navajo Nation's ability to tax in the Kerr McGee case. To commemorate the victory, the Navajo Tribal Council designated April 16th as Navajo Nation Sovereignty Day, and later moved the holiday to the fourth Monday in April. There are 9 Navajo taxes. Today, with the signing of the tobacco tax amendment, the Navajo Nation will bring in more quarterly tax earnings. "Navajo Nations should continue to spend on the nation whenever they can and register their businesses there," he said. "The more we can keep our money circulating here," said Nygren, "the better it is for all of us." We wish all concerned success in collecting the taxes they are due. Now, a story from the Navajo Times of Wednesday, November 20th. Dateline, Page, Arizona. Headline, Starcar Diné Woman Entrepreneur Presents Sunbeam Tours and Railways, Electric Vehicle Passenger Coach at Navajo Tourism Conference. This is by the staff of the Navajo Times. A modernistic Sunbeam Tours and Railway Star Car was shown for the first time last week at the Navajo Tourism Conference here in Page at the Marriott Conference Center. Star founder and CEO Celesta Littleman unveiled a photo of the proposed Star Car, an all-weather electric vehicle passenger coach that will be built with a fiberglass body onto an all-steel chassis. If awarded an EOA, an Emergency Operating Agreement, by the Navajo Nation Division of Economic Development, her company, Sunbeam Tours and Railway, will provide people from around the world with a thrilling experience using the newest electric vehicle technology to travel through some of North America's most captivating landscapes of mesas, plateaus, and vibrant colors. The concept is to use 45 miles of the former Black Mesa and Lake Powell Railroad track, said Littleman, who is Nakhai Dine, born for Tsina Jini. Her maternal grandfather is Bi Bitodni, and her maternal grandfather is Todachini. Littleman is originally from Luchi, Arizona. She is the daughter of Lester and Roseanne Littleman, who run Mystical Antelope Canyon Tours and Arrowhead Campground. This is like a ride at Disneyland, only it's Navajo land, Littleman said. It's not a trip through a canyon, on a lake, or around a bend in the river. It's one woman's invention of an electric vehicle to take eager tourists who want a Navajo experience through beautiful scenery while learning about the Navajo people, how they survived, and how they live today. Star Car on Black Mesa Lake Power Railroad, first presentation. Her first public presentation went much better than she expected. My audience gasped with their mouths hanging open when they saw our prototype vehicle. We've dubbed it the Star Car, she said. STAR is our acronym, and the name Star Car was just a placeholder until my team decided that's it. Her plan, she said, is to use the former Black Mesa Lake Powell Railroad, engine house, on the former Navajo Generating Station lease area as a depot. From there, passengers will board for a 90-mile round-trip rail journey. This 30-mile scenic ride will take about 3 hours, including stops at a vendor village with a restroom break midway. There, the Star Car will reverse direction without leaving the tracks for an entirely new scenic trip. This is a people-friendly way to experience cultural tourism in a zero-impact, zero-emission vehicle designated to support sustainable travel. My goal is to offer a different and unique experience and serve my communities of Luchi and Kaibito with employment, she said. Inspiration from leaders and scenic views. The new approach will benefit the Navajo Nation and support local economies, Ms. Littleman said. Each Star Car will be ADA compliant, Americans with Disability Act, so individuals who need wheelchair access can enjoy the trip. The Star Car is designed with comfortable seats and large windows in all directions, so all ages can enjoy 360-degree views. From mile marker 33's, passenger will be able to see from Navajo Mountain to the San Francisco Peak. It's a stunning view, Littleman said. I know, because I worked in the Navajo Generating Station Railroad and Heavy Equipment Department for 6 years. Asked if she thought her business would be successful, she said, I'm going to have to create a production line to keep up with the demand my Star Car will create. We wish her good luck. That's all we have time for today. Thank you so much for listening. Ahyehye, listeners. Join us next week for more from your Northland Views program from the Navajo Times and Navajope Observer. I'm your volunteer reader, Mary McGrorty. Till then, hagone.